KNZR.com, KNZR on Twitter, KNZR on Facebook, and KNZR on your radio at AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR. Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and now, News First with local news for Bakersfield and the entire county. That's a winning combination on KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Welcome back, everybody. We are starting into our final hour on a Monday. And as you know, we have Dr. Jan Mensing with us. You know, it used to be that if you had inflammation, just put ice on it, and you'll be a lot better off. That's still good advice if you've got some inflammation where it's trauma and stuff like that. But through what they have learned from traumatic brain injury, we know so much more. What exactly is traumatic brain injury,
Terry? I worked in the neurosurgery field for years. So
you were causing it.
Yeah. And we didn't know, we never heard the word, it was back then, it was concussions. But essentially what a traumatic brain injury, what it means is that there's it's usually a blow or a jolt, or it's a penetrating injury to mm-hmm. the brain. All mm-hmm. right. And it causes certain things in the brain. I don't want to be too complex because it'll be too difficult, but it causes inflammation in the brain.
Okay.
And we now know, we talked about last week how this, we now know that within 10 minutes of that inflammation in the brain, you have inflammation in the gut and all these other crazy things, just these neuroendocrine pathways just go berserk. All right.
Now, one of the things I do remember from my training is that you have what? The coup and contra coup?
Coup and contra coup.
And because where the trauma hits you on the front side is only part of the trauma.
Yeah, well, this is difficult for people. I don't know if I can. Let me try to say it this way, Terry. That's hard to explain. If I hit you and direct blow, that's a coup injury.
Right.
All right? I cause the damage. Let me put it this way. Let's say I have a basketball mm-hmm. full of jelly. All right?
Okay.
And I take a bat and hit it. All right?
Right.
Where I hit it is what's called a coup injury. All right.
Right?
But what people don't understand, if you're not in the neurosciences, is that trauma and that brain moves and then you
hits the other wall.
Yeah, that's a simple way. It's not quite to say, but yeah, that's a simple way of saying it. So you get a contra coup injury on the other side
right.
of the ball.
Right.
It's not even where you got hit. And people don't, if you're not in the neurosciences, a lot of doctors don't even understand that. Those of us in neurosurgery, neurology. Yeah.
I got hit over here. How come I hurt back over
exactly.
here? Well, it's because of that very fact.
Of that contra coup injury.
Because you've got a brain inside of a space that has no room.
No place to go.
Yeah.
That's what a coup contra coup injury is.
Got it.
All right. So you just because you got hit in the forehead, you can have
injuries
on the back.
Occipital.
All right. And that, so it becomes difficult. If you don't know these kind of things, you won't understand that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it's a very complex area.
Okay. Sorry. I just wanted to, kind of.
I don't know. I didn't
clarify that a little bit.
I hope I made that. I've never explained it that way, Terry. But
I probably shouldn't have brought it up. But I just thought that was something that I remember from my training.
Yep. Coup and contra coup injuries. Yep. Interesting stuff.
Yeah. Well, we made prostaglandins and steroids and all that at Upjohn, and of course we had to know something about all that.
Yeah, there's so much stuff we learned, Terry. This is stuff that 20 years ago we really didn't have a handle on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, today it has become state of the art stuff. All right, a lot of we'll maybe at the end go over some of the issues. There's a lot of litigation issues with this kind of stuff.
Okay.
I've had the opportunity to help patients with traumatic brain injuries, as an expert witness kind of thing. These patients suffer, all right? And they're often misdiagnosed. They're often they're missed. This is the best way to say it.
Oh, sure, sure.
They're missed often. And as we start going through it, Terry, maybe the simplest way I can say to summarize what I
where we're going to go with this.
Where we're going to go with this. I thank the God in heaven that I'm not the judge of man and his behavior. Because as we go on, you're going to start to see these things, and you're going to say, holder, was this from that? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult. It's even difficult for physicians, you know, to know. And it's almost like a, I was going to say a sixth sense. That's not the right word, but it's almost like an intuition. These pictures all fit. And
right.
There's people that can have the same symptoms, and it doesn't fit. And it's something else, all right? And it's hard to put that into words, all right? But there's this area of traumatic brain injury.
How common is it, and can you define, you know, what injury is most common?
I can't.
Okay.
Maybe let's go a step down the road from that question. Maybe a simpler way, Terry, to say it is certain age groups are more common for traumatic brain injuries, okay? Age newborns to age 4 years old.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, they tend to bump into almost everything.
Bumping is not so much a big issue. It's hitting or traumatic injuries. You know, you got dad that gets mad and loses his temper. And, bangs the head of the kid on the wall.
Or even shakes him.
Excellent.
That's the brain going back and forth
this
between those two walls.
Coup injury. Yeah. That kind of idea. All right. Newborn to 4 years old, age 15 to 24. All right. That's a high peak of that because of, by the way, men are more likely than women. All right, because men do stupid things.
I was going to say that's the peak of stupidity.
through all ages, even kids, babies, males are more likely than females. All right, but the fact of the matter, maleness is a risk factor for TBI. So age 15 to 24 is a peak, and then
those are the stupid years.
Maybe.
You do stupid things. You do a lot of stupid things during those years. So,
All right. And then above age 60. All right.
Okay.
Above age 60. It goes way, way up. And there's people that can be in their 30s or in their 50s have traumatic brain injuries. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exclusive of those ages. All right.
Right.
But somehow they've got a injury. All right, could be a car accident, and they hit their head. It could be a fall, a trauma. It could be who knows what, a fight, or anything. And the other thing is that it doesn't have to be, Terry. The guy that comes into the ER, and he's beat up, and his face is bloodied up, and he's got black eyes, and he's had
he looks like he's been
through the ringer.
Beat pretty badly.
Everybody thinks, well, this guy must have a traumatic brain injury, and he can. All right,
mm-hmm.
But from a doctor's point of view, we look at it a little bit different. For all that trauma that I caused by the black eye that I hit you,
mm-hmm.
the energy was absorbed in the eye. It didn't go through as much to the brain.
The brain. Okay.
All right? So you can have people, Terry, here's where the hard part is. You can have people that have hardly, they hit their head in the window of the windshield and they have hardly any injury signs, and they didn't cut themselves, all right? And they can have massive TBI.
Sure.
All right? And that's where it becomes difficult. Many of these cases, Terry, are late diagnosed. All right? Just short and simple.
Yeah.
And there is no easy answer for that. I don't have a magic bullet to do that.
It kind of reminds me of, somebody being in an accident and getting a laceration of the spleen, and then if you don't check that, the next thing you know,
They're bled out. Yeah. Yeah, these are difficult. Most of these, in my experience, the very serious TBIs, the very serious brain injuries, everybody knows, all right? Where the difficulty is the mild and mild to moderate and moderate ones, where they may not show all the signs, and they're missed often, Terry,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're misdiagnosed, or they're after the fact, people twig, holder, there's something wrong here. And as we go through this, it'll become very obvious. I kind of look at it. My suspicion is people will look at this saying, holder, Uncle so-and-so shows that. Uncle so-and-so.
Yeah.
What about this person? And all of a sudden you start identifying
them.
Holder. Now, just because they have these things, for people listening, doesn't mean to say they have a TBI. I want to be very upfront with that. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah, but so don't you guys go diagnosing me before he even starts, okay? Just everybody relax.
No, it's an amazing area, Terry. It is just what's come out, all right? It's amazing.
Okay, so let's take a break. When we come back, let's start talking a little bit about those symptoms you were talking about. Does that sound good?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, we're going to be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensink. He is with The Practice. And I think everybody knows enough about Dr. Mensink and some of the great things that he has informed us of here on this radio station. If you are interested, give them a call. 871-3300. Sorry?
That's correct. I never call it myself, so I don't know it very well.
When I call it, it's just on my phone. I just press a button. We'll be right back.
The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner. News, traffic, weather, and the best local news team. We will rock you. KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to take a phone call. Dr. Craig Luther, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Terry?
I'm doing very, very well. You're on with Dr. Jan Mensink from The Practice. Did you want to give us a question, or did you want to make an observation about brain injuries?
Well, kind of both. Back in 2005, I was in Russia doing some research, and I got the holy crap kicked out of me. I got nearly beaten to death. I don't remember anything about it. They were hiding behind some bushes. The next thing I knew, I was out. And they took me to the hospital, and I wasn't coming around. They were literally within 2 or 3 minutes of calling the U.S. Embassy and getting a helicopter and flying me to a U.S. military hospital when I finally came around. But, I was kind of dizzy and wobbly for about a week after that, but I haven't, really discerned any other, no personality changes, no blood swelling of the brain. But I just wondered, could that leave effects or have had effects on me that I don't even know about?
Craig, probably the simple answer is yes. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The fact that you had loss of consciousness, all right, mm-hmm. for more than probably a couple minutes, 5-7 minutes, all right, means mm-hmm. that you probably sustained a moderate or more severe traumatic brain injury. And so these things have definite effects. Now, it's very difficult Craig, predict how you're going to go. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have people mm-hmm. that, patients that get better and quick, they're mild, and they get over it, and no big deal. And there's other patients that are just, they just never get over it. and it destroys their life.
Are you having any symptoms at this point?
Not that I know of. A lot of people have always thought I'm kind of crazy. So I don't.
Yeah, but
I don't
that was going on before 2008.
My behavior has really changed much. But I've never had like a brain MRI, and I've just always wondered about it because it was very serious, and I was really lucky to survive. I mean, they all also kicked me so many times on my right side in the waist area that whole area was actually pitch black.
Dr. Luther, probably the two things that I would mention. First of all, I am a strong believer in after the fact, when the symptoms are gone, all these patients need MRI imaging with or without consciousness. I have your doctor do that. Because I've been doing this too many years, surprises come up, all right? Now, if you, not at your stage, years after, but initially, early on, there are functional MR scanning that we can do to determine the amount of injury. All right, now let's mm-hmm. just talk. Maybe we should just talk about that right now. Here's the thing, Craig. There is no 90%, 99%, the vast majority of cases, the diagnosis is made when it's too late to do these imaging studies.
Okay.
So, all right. Those cases where they're very severe and we know there's something and the patient's in the hospital and the neuro team is looking after them, that's no big deal. Those are easy diagnosed. That's not what we're talking about here. Those are what we're not missing. But it's those cases that are they've got knocked out. They get, and it could be even transit. We're going to talk about just how long it takes. It could be very little. But they after that, they just don't function right, and they may never go back to being normal. Mm-hmm. And this is where the ones we're missing, all right? And this is where the big increase in litigation has been lately, all right, because of this, all right? And we'll probably, if we have time today or maybe on Wednesday, we'll go into that. But there is no question, Dr. Luther, that the fact of the matter that you had loss of consciousness means that something happened in there. All right.
Yeah, now something got jarred loose enough now, that you lost consciousness.
I've never seen you, and I really don't know. You know, I've never examined this patient, but the good news: we've got a man that supposedly is functionally okay.
Yeah, well, Terry's seen me many times, and he can tell you how scary I am.
but literally, if you're functionally doing pretty good, it means that probably you are one of these patients that had a TBI, but had a very healthy brain that got over it quickly. All right.
No, can the brain repair itself?
Of course it can.
I was just going to ask you that. That was going to be my next question.
Here's the interesting thing. 20 years ago, when I finished neurosurgery residency, we did not believe that the brain could rejuvenate itself and grow.
Right.
That is no longer true. We now know the brain is able to rejuvenate itself. Mm-hmm. Now, we've always known, up until maybe 2 years of age, 18 months, 2 years of age, I can cut out half your brain for maybe Sturge Weber syndrome or something like that, and you'll regrow it, and you'll be normal, all right? All right, or cut your seizure foci out, and you'll regrow it. But after that plasticity, that early, after 2 years of age,
it won't happen.
It doesn't work. Well, we now know that's not true. Now, there's ways of doing it. Now, this is research stuff. But it is true, you can regrow brain. End of discussion.
Can I ask you one more question, doctor?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, I've often wondered. Now, I know when you have a traumatic event like this, many times people say, well, they don't remember a thing. And I don't remember a thing. I was able to crawl into the hotel, and I didn't recognize any of the folks I was with. I couldn't, I was with a bunch of German folks. I couldn't speak their language anymore. I don't remember, they took me to the hospital. I don't remember any of it. Is that a defense mechanism in your brain?
No.
I've tried at times. I've tried to just what happened? And I can't remember.
Okay. Let me, I don't know if I will. Okay, I'll tell you a story, all right?
Okay.
This is for me, make people out there listening understand what happens. But this is years ago, all right? And my first residency, I did a family practice residency. And I come from Canada where there's really no litigation issues, all right? And I'm doing my family practice residency in Orlando, Florida. And my first delivery, all right? And I am panicked. I've heard about all the lawsuits and all that. Yeah, I mean, my level. And I do an excellent delivery, all right? Delivered the baby, perfect, okay? I'm getting ready to deliver the placenta. I did what was called a medial lateral episiotomy that the doctor that came in didn't know how to sew up. I didn't know that at the time, but that's what we do in Canada. It's a standard of care.
Yeah.
He didn't know about it. And I let him deliver the placenta. He looks at this episiotomy and he looks, oh my gosh, what the heck's going on? Why did you do this? You know what you're doing, and this lady should sue you. Plunk! I collapsed over like a brick. I was all right. I'm unconscious. They take me up to the ICU, and I'm in ICU. And apparently, I woke up and was talking to everybody. All right, I had no consciousness of anything until I woke up with a nurse 3 days later washing my genitals. All right, that's the first thing I remember.
Word.
And yet, I was so far as everybody was concerned, I was normal.
Yeah,
and I don't remember a thing of that. All right, that's from a traumatic brain injury.
Did they give you some halcyon or something?
No,
that might have caused it too.
But people don't understand this. You can have the patient can look and sound normal. He has no recollection of what's going on.
Have they done they done studies to see, because with certain benzodiazepines you get retrograde amnesia, Ativan and Halcyon and those. Is it the same site
Terry,
that causes that?
No, I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't really know, Terry.
Because I mean that would be interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of people. You know, here's the problem we have with this. I can see you in the ER, and you look normal to me, and you don't have a clue or remember what's going on. Mm-hmm. All right, mm-hmm. and that's that danger, that window of this person is really not competent to go home and shouldn't go home.
Right.
All right,
right.
And yet, how do I assess that? There's very little way of doing that.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. There is no easy answer to this stuff. You know what I mean? But that is the issue. All right,
Dr. Luther. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Craig.
Doctor, for answering my question. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, no
Take
problem.
Care. Bye-bye. So, Hank, brain rejuvenation in alcoholics doesn't happen. You've pickled the brain, and it ain't coming back. That's when you get... fluid on the brain, that's the end stages of alcoholism.
Alcohol, does he want to answer or just as a comment?
No, I think that the Hank on brain rejuvenation in alcoholics.
Well, we're kind of getting off track, but let's talk a little bit about that. It depends on the type of injury for alcoholics with the brain, all right? An alcoholic can have, in fact, probably have alcoholism is a risk factor for traumatic brain injury, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can have that. But more important than that, the other issue with alcohol is there's an alcoholic dementias, there's Wernicke's, there's Korsakoff psychosis, there's all these other, careful how I say it.
Maladies?
Other brain illnesses or sort of pseudo-dementias, mm-hmm. all right, that are on top of it. That it becomes harder to diagnose these people. All right, there is no easy answer for that. But it depends. The question is: are you able to rejuvenate a brain that has an alcoholic? The issue is what's the underlying issue is.
Yeah.
All right, it is the brain can do a lot of amazing things, but it depends what the underlying pathology is whether it rejuvenates. I don't know if that answers this question, but that's.
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think it does definitely. Okay, so now let's see, where were we? What's symptoms of TBI?
All right, let me just add a disclaimer. We said this before. Just because you have all these things does not mean to say you have a TBI,
right.
a traumatic
right.
brain injury. But these are things that traumatic brain injury patients often have, all right? And I want to be real clear, careful because I'm going to have a bunch of people. A lot of these things are common. All right, and it's a constellation of these things in the right clinical situation that says yes, this is a TBI.
I'll remind everybody what my dad said when he was going through medical training. By the time you finished learning about diabetes and some of these other
diseases, you had everything.
You thought you had them all, and so don't be that way. We're going through these symptoms, but you really need to have the evaluation and the
okay. First of all, headaches.
Right.
All right. And people can have headaches for years, but it'll be a different kind of headache and more serious. So in fact, I had a lady today, a new patient that came in and has had last year headaches, getting worse and worse and worse. Never had headaches really before. Well, I think a year before that, a little bit of headaches. No stress, no other issues, but headaches. And I don't think it's due to a neurologic problem, but that patient needs MR imaging.
See if you've got something going on there.
Because you got to do it to make sure there's nothing happening. Because I've done this too many years. We get surprised every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
That picture of a headache is getting worse and worse and worse. You need to see a doctor, all right?
Right.
Number two, anxiety. How common is anxiety, all right? You know, brain fog. You know, half the women over in perimenopausal have this brain fog, all right? All right. Memory problems. Difficulty concentrating. Sleep abnormalities. Too much or too little sleep, by the way.
Right.
It can be both.
Right.
Fatigue, irritability, depression, dizziness, abnormal vision, ringing in the ears, light and noise sensitivities, fatigue. People who have been diagnosed with migraine headaches after an injury, many of these are TBIs.
Mm-hmm.
Previous concussion, all right?
Right.
Especially, Terry, probably the most important thing is if you had a concussion and you bang yourself in the next 6 months to a year, a concussion on top of a concussion, that's where the bad things happen, Terry.
That's where it's really, really bad.
Yeah. All right, the kid that's playing, you know, a sport, he has a concussion. Then we put him back in the field.
Yeah,
is stupidity.
Get back in there.
Yeah, you know, is wrong. All right.
Let me, because
if you have another injury,
well, it compounds it.
Yeah,
it's just, because now you've already got
double,
the tissue has already been weakened, and now you hit it again. It's like now you've turned it into jelly.
Yeah, exactly.
Ringing in the ears. That's a fairly common symptom, isn't it?
Yes.
No. A lot of people have it.
A lot of have the tinnitus. It can cause a dozen other things. Just because you have tinnitus doesn't mean to say you had a TBI. All right? And that's what I, you know, these things we're all mentioning. Everybody says, "Oh, I've got that," or "I've had that," or "I know somebody's had that." All right. That's not, you know, these are a constant, these are, it takes a doctor who knows what they're doing in the neuro field that is aware of, put it all together kind of thing. And the other thing is sensitivity to noise. Answering questions very slowly, balance problems, trouble with problem solving, problems with multitasking, problems with organizing, problems with planning, problems decision-making, problems starting or completing tasks, problems with understanding verbal or nonverbal cues. All right, social interaction problems.
You just described most males.
No, Terry, you know, this is the hard part to try to get, you know, to talk about TBI. 99% of the people say, "Well, I've had that." They don't have TBI.
No, they don't.
All right,
they
sensory issues, blurry vision, bad taste. All right, change in their smell. All right. If you bang your head, you got a change in your smell. 90% of the people think they have COVID today.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
All right. But this is, you know, cognitive changes. We mentioned with Dr. Luther, you don't have to have loss of consciousness. It could be dazed or confused. All right. Many of these patients will have concentration troubles, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And we could write it all off to stress. You know, we got banged up, you know, all right? Here's the key, Terry. We've said all these things, and I had a lot of trepidation doing this talk today about this, all right? I think it's something we should know. But here's the thing. 90% of the people listening out there, so I've had that or I've had that, you know, and maybe I banged my head, you know, right, a couple of years ago.
Right.
99% of these people do not have traumatic brain injuries, okay? I want to be really upfront with that. But here's probably the key, Terry. If you had an injury, you banged your head, you had a car accident, I don't care what, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Got beat up, I don't care what happened, but some kind of brain injury to your head, and then all these things started getting worse or changing after that, or occurring after that injury, you should see a doctor about
yeah, you have a causal.
That's a different situation.
There's a causal relationship.
Exactly.
There. Yeah.
All right. And it doesn't mean to say that you can have every one of these and still not have a TBI.
Right.
All right. You can be just depressed. Tough luck. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Or stressed out or whatever. So it's not an easy thing for. I hope I'm not stirring up a lot of things to the public out there listening.
So. I think
we should know about this. But it's extremely interesting. And, you know, as I said earlier, Terry, I am glad I'm not God judging these people.
Yeah.
Do you follow?
Sure.
We don't know what's happened to their brain, and that may be not. May, you know, our first response is blame the guy.
Yeah.
It may be nothing to do with the guy.
Yeah.
It may be his injury that he's had.
Sure. Let's go ahead and take a break. We got to take a real quick break here. We'll be right back. They're talking with Dr. Jan Mensing from the practice here on the Terry Maxwell Show, KNZR AM 1560 and FM 97.7.
AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR.
I'm connected all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
It's what I always listen to. I get the news that matters.
And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home.
So we are talking about TBIs, traumatic brain injury. Dr. Mensing, I was wondering, so when you're looking at an MRI of somebody who maybe had a traumatic brain injury from a while ago, but they're starting to have some symptoms, what are you looking for on that MRI?
Maybe, Terry, first of all, there are traumatic brain injury patients after the fact can have a normal MR. All right?
Okay.
There's a certain point when functional MR changes are worthwhile, but between you and me, most of the time the diagnosis is missed. Before then, it's too late. All right?
Okay.
Number two, these patients all need MR imaging. All right, and sometimes vascular imaging of the brain with MRAs. But here's the thing: you are excluding other issues and problems that may be the cause. All right. And let me just put it simple. I had a patient last week, mm-hmm. new patient that mm-hmm. came to me that's been diagnosed with dementia. I said that wrong. With Parkinson's disease.
Okay.
Right? And
okay.
I'm thinking of doing a whole series on Parkinson's, by the way, but down the road. We'll see. But she's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. All right. And she has never had an MRI. And to me, this is just, oh, my gosh, terrible.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah.
But we did her MR, and she really doesn't have Parkinson's. She has paralysis agitans. I don't want to really go into that, but she has a tremor. Mm-hmm. And she has a vascular dementia. All right.
Sure.
She's got little holes all over her brain. And she doesn't have Parkinson's at all. Now, it looks like Parkinson's, all right? To a non-neuro doctor, they would, the average doctor would say, you got Parkinson's, all right? But it's not, all right? Now, that MRI was used to exclude certain things. Do you follow? Because
sure.
that will balance the treatment, what I do. And in fact, the treatment changed totally. I didn't give her Parkinson's disease medicines. I gave her another kind of medicine. And I talked to her this morning, and she's the tremors are
much
better.
Yeah.
All right?
Better.
It's not even a tremor medicine. All right? So that MR imaging for these patients, I believe they all need to be MR imaging. If any of my patients, they get MR imaging, I'm sorry, end of discussion, got to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can get surprised, but you're ruling out other issues that can be maybe correctable, all right?
Right.
How do we treat these patients, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, these are different.
How do you treat neuroinflammation?
Yeah. First of all, you have to understand that most of these patients, first of all, this is a clinical diagnosis. I don't have a blood test or a test to say you have a TBI. All right.
Right.
This is a first thing. Doctors realize that the patient doesn't, I want to be checked if I got TBI. No, I don't have a test for that. All right.
Right. Right.
It's a clinical set of situations and circumstances fit into it, that kind of thing. And it's not easy. All right. I mean, for doctors, you got to get to know the patient and see. And most of these patients are diagnosed late. That's my experience. All right.
Right.
Unless they're very severe. Those are a different story. But those that have mild to moderate are diagnosed late, in my experience. The second thing, what do I do for these patients? First of all, we treat all their basic issues, their depression or anxiety, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, because we know that there's this gut, neuro, and brain inflammation pattern,
access,
I have to make sure the gut is healthy. All right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Something we just recently learned in the last few years. We've gone over that in other programs. That we've missed, all right, just short and simple, we've missed a lot of these patients. But these are, they're fun patients to deal with, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They're complex. I don't want to minimize it. And many of them are written off as being crazy, all right?
Yeah.
I'm sad to say that, but they're written off as being crazy.
We're out of time, so I guess we'll have to pick this up again on Wednesday.
Okay. I hope, Terry, I just hope that all these people, there's 80,000 people listening. I just hope that we haven't confused them more.
Well, if they're confused, then maybe they need to get an MRI and see if there's something going on in that brain. We're going to be back.
There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no safety or survival.
thank you so much, everybody, for joining me on a Monday. I hope you have had a good time. I will let you know that tomorrow I'm bringing back someone who wrote a book called They Must Be Monsters. This is about the McMartin, what would you call it? Witch hunt down in the South Bay area of Los Angeles. His name is Derek Haddett, and he is one of the Haddetts of this area. Anyway, I'm going to talk to him tomorrow because I think, there's a new witch hunt going on out there, and we need to talk about it. I thought he would be a great person to get a perspective from, so he's going to join us. Also, Russell Johnson, another local person, will be with us tomorrow. So, hey, join us. I'll be here. All we need is you.